Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, glad you're tuned in today. Let's turn our Bibles over here to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, reading Scripture, build up our spirit man, renewing our mind in God's Word, and praise God, feeding our faith on God's Word. Every day, feed your faith on God's Word by reading the Word. Speak it to yourself. Read your Bible out loud. Thank God for reading it silently, but faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, here in Ephesians, the Scripture says here, in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning verse 1, children, obey your parents, Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, first commandment promise. Now, verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, what God promised here is that he wants us to be well with us, and that we live long. He promised us in the 91st Psalm, the last verse, that we live till we're satisfied. See, how long should a believer live? Well, till they're satisfied. Till they know they've finished their course. And live a long and healthy life. It's up to the individual to see to it that they do live long. See, a lot of times we left this in God's hands. Well, you know, if God wants me, and then go on and talk stuff negative, I don't even want to say, but you got the picture. No, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 18, death and life are the power of the tongue. Watch what your tongue says about you and your body. Now, Ecclesiastes, the Scripture said in 7, verse 17, why shouldest thou die before thy time? Proverbs 3, verse 2 says, for length of days and long life and peace shall be added unto thee. In Proverbs 9, verse 11, for by me thy days multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So God wants us to have a long and healthy life. He said in 3 John, verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. See, not just receive healing. Thank God if you need healing, receive the healing, but also live in good health. He promised his word that we could. He taught us his principles. From his word, how to live long life. God's word is life to our flesh. And every day, just take scriptures and just keep drilling yourself on it, meditating on it. Like God told Joshua, this book of law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to according to all that is written there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now, here in 1 Peter 2, the Bible says here in verse 24, notice this first part. The Scripture says here, who his own self bear our sins, his own body in the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. So God wants us to live unto righteousness. We're the righteous of God in Christ, and we should live. See, you hear people, Christians talk so much about wanting to die for the Lord or willing to die for the Lord. Well, Jesus died for us. He took our curse. God needs us here on earth. You know, you're not so special that heaven's not the same without you up there. He needs you here. And so the Lord went on to say here by the Holy Spirit in verse 24 of 1 Peter 2, by whose stripes you were healed. See, not going to be healed someday when you get to heaven. No, ye were healed. It's already been bought. It's already been paid for. Just like our whole salvation plan's already been bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were taught that Jesus took our sins. But we weren't taught with the same enthusiasm, with the same confidence, with the same boldness that he took our sicknesses. We were taught that Jesus took our sins, and we were taught that, well, you know, God doesn't just always heal. But actually, Jesus already took our sicknesses. It's not so much that God's healing today. It's that he's already done it, and what people are doing is receiving it. It's the same way as a new birth. You know, sometimes we'll say that, so how was the service last night, Brother Rich? Oh, you know, and you see, well, God saved four people. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, actually, four people last night received the Lord. Didn't God already pay the price through Jesus Christ? We were already bought. I mean, Jesus died for the whole world. He's already taken their sins. God's not imputing the world's or the church or anyone's sins. He's not adding them up. Jesus already took them when he went to the cross. Well, Jesus took our sickness, Jesus. Now, every day, we're faced with doubt and unbelief. People ask you questions about your personal being. You know, for everything from how you feel, how old are you, you know, you never know. I mean, and they'll talk about what they got and wonder if you've got it. Well, if you don't, you will. If I was you, I'd get ready. Well, praise the Lord. The way you're going to get ready for the tests and trials is stay in the Word of God and know that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, he doesn't just come to steal. He doesn't come just to kill. He doesn't come just to destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy all at the same time. And so we always are built up spiritually. Remember 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions accomplished in a brother there in the world. We're admonished by God to stay built up. Now, along this line is, let's go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and notice here what verse 4 and 5 says here. Now, this is so important that we work on this as believers. The Bible says here, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down strongholds. Now, how do we do this? Casting down imagination. Imaginations are thoughts that come to you. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. See, anything that's contrary to the Word, what Jesus did for us, needs to be cast down. So when the thought comes to you, you're not going to get healed this time, you need to respond to that. You say, no, Satan, I resist that in Jesus' name. It's written, cast down imagination, every high thing exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus got my healing for me because the Bible said himself took my infirmities, bear my sickness, by his stripes I'm healed. Or quote Matthew 8:17 or 1 Peter 2:24 or Galatians 3:13. And train yourself so any kind of ill feeling or thought or panic or terror or worry or depression or anxiety or stress, oppression, depression, anything, double minus, learn to respond and answer it quickly. That way he can't linger. Because James said, by the Holy Spirit, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So when doubt comes, we're to resist it. Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 16, get thee behind me, Satan. When Peter said, not so, Lord. I mean, Jesus jumped on it right away. And in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, every time Satan would talk to Jesus with the temptation, Jesus answered back with a verse of Scripture. He'd say, it is written. And finally, the devil had to leave him. How do we resist the devil? How do we get the devil to leave? How do we get doubt and worry and fear and unbelief to leave? Tormenting spirits to come to all of us. By thinking about what they're telling us? See, the devil's not going to show up and say, I'm the devil. I'm here to stay, to steal, kill, and destroy off you. He's going to come with fear. He's going to come with doubt. He's going to come with unbelief. He's going to try to convince you to go by what you see and what you feel. Feel this. Look at this. It's not any better. It's worse. And it may be, but your evidence that you've got your healing is 1 Peter 2:24 and Matthew 8:17, and your faith in it. Symptoms may linger and try to convince you that you're not going to get it. And they need to respond and say, I'm not trying to get my healing, Satan. Jesus got it for me when he went to the cross. And then quote 1 Peter 2:24. Just say, it's written, who his own self bare our sins, his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unrighteous, by whose stripes ye were healed. Is he not going to be healed someday when God gets ready? No, he was ready when Jesus came, and before that, but he put our curse upon Jesus. See, the reason that God laid our sick diseases on Jesus is so we wouldn't have to be sick or have any diseases. But we weren't taught that in church like we should have been. Most of us just grew up, you know, and never heard really anything about divine healing other than God can if it's his will. And we heard preachers tell us that God put sickness on us to teach us something. No, he doesn't. He laid our sickness diseases upon Jesus. Jesus never told anyone that was God's will they be sick. And if you and I would listen to God to begin with, we never got sick to begin with. As long as Israel obeyed God, they walked in divine health. They were told what to do and what not to do. And it's just areas, you know, like Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. You can give the devil place and having put sickness on you and open the door to him just by simple being ignorant of God's word or not walking in love or judging others. Jesus said, judge not, at least you be judged. So we need to listen to our mouth and the way we treat other people. All of us need to work on it because none of us have arrived. There's been some times I thought I'd arrived but in walking in love and not judge others, but you know, it didn't last long. We need to catch ourselves. See, not obeying God, sinning, you know, letting your body do whatever it wants to do will catch up to you. Your body will get itself killed if you let it just do what it wants to. But Holy Spirit, through Paul said, Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, said, I keep under my body and bring subjection, least by any means I preach to others, I myself should be cast away. Well, we don't want to be cast away. We want to live and not die and clear the works of the Lord. See, living in sin I'll bring hard times to you. And Satan will get you in a place where he can hurt you. And the curse will overtake you. I mean, Jesus redeemed us from it, but there's a part we have to play. Every promise of God has got a condition there. It's like the new birth. You've got to receive Jesus, your Lord, and confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart. Now, see, people would rather do, I pastored for a while. You know, there'll people come to you, and some people would rather do anything than simply make a public confession of Jesus Christ, their Lord. They wouldn't go, you know, they'd like to join the church or take communion or, you know, be water baptized, okay. But to publicly say, Jesus is your Lord? But Jesus taught us if we confess him before men, he'll confess him before our Father. Wherefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, the glory of God the Father. So salvation, the new birth, being saved, manifests or becomes reality to us as we believe in our heart and confess our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Now, God's kingdom operates this way, through our heart, our spirit man, and through our mouth. And we need to make confessions of faith. I mean, we tell people we're born again Christians, and we have no proof of that except we acted on God's word. No tangible proof. But all we need is the scriptures. That's all we have to have. You think about this. Go over here to the Gospel of Matthew and read this testimony we have here in Matthew chapter 8. Now, the scripture teaches here about the centurion. And the Bible says here, we'll start here in verse 5. And when Jesus was in Capernaum, there came the centurion and beseeched him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy thou coming from my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For a man of authority having sold to me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and another, come, to my servant, do this, he doeth. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, said to the following, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done to thee. And his servant was healed, self same hour. Now, all this centurion had to get his servant healed was God's word. He didn't have anything else. And he acted upon what Jesus said, and his servant got healed. So what did this man do? He believed the word Jesus spoke and acted accordingly. Now, there's like a couple principles here to faith we can learn. Get a verse of Scripture and act like it's yours. Act like you're healed. See yourself healed. Act like you're prosperous. See yourself prosperous. Talk like you are. See yourself. And just keep doing that. Because faith is always an action. And you act in faith by making faith confessions. And you act in faith by taking steps of faith. In the midst of, you know, maybe unemployed. And just by believing God that you received the perfect job and then go out and begin to seek and you'll find. You know, there was this pastor and he had this great church in Texas and very successful. And I mean, just he preached prosperity strong and bold. Almost probably every service. And so finally there was a man came up to him after the service. I'm sure there was more than one, but in this incident. And he, you know, had heard the pastor preach on prosperity, 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 and on and on and on. And so he came up to him and said, you know, pastor, you're always teaching about prosperity. I mean, how am I going to prosper? And apparently the man, you know, was basically saying he had no talents. And how am I going to become prosperous? And so the pastor said to him, I want you to come to my office like Monday at a certain time. So he came to his office, you know, and he brought this up again, how he can't do nothing, and, you know, he can't, how am I going to prosper? And he didn't have anything tangible. So the pastor said, well, what is it you can do? Can you wash a car? Oh, he says, I can wash a car. So the pastor got got a phone number printed off for him. And I think they even had to use the church phone number. And you said, you see that big, you know, business complex over there? I want you to go pass these out to people over there. And tell them you'll come and wash their car. And all the man that had was a bicycle to ride over to do that. Well, so they worked on a place. They had a hose, and they had a bucket, and they had a sponge, and they had some towels. And the man started washing cars. And as time went by, he became the largest car washing dealership, or, you know, car washing chain in that area of Texas. Now, it started out with something very simple and very small, but the pastor got him to act and do something. See, it may just start working at McDonald's, but you can't have too much pride to stay unemployed and think, I'm not going to do that. No, I mean, God asks you to do something that can be very humbling, like go fill the pots with water and bear them the governor's feast. Well, the last thing those probably servants wanted to do was do that. I mean, their minds could have just went crazy with all kinds of thoughts that came to them. Don't know, because the Bible doesn't say. But you know how the human mind works. And many times people never get to the next place because they're not willing to start out someplace that seems just so insignificant. Think about this. Be willing to do anything for God. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Enjoy being today. I want to encourage you, if you don't have our CD entitled Feed Your Spirit Man Daily, you want to get it. Send an offering of $10 or more to our ministry at Jesse Rich Ministries, Post Office Box 237170, New York, New York, 10023. We'll send you out a hard copy of that. Or you can just get it free on our website. You can download it every day and listen to it that way if you'd like to. Enjoy being with you. Until next time, it's Brother Rich. Remind you, you keep speaking in God's Word. Remember, Jesus is your Lord, to the glory of God the Father.